Up next on the program, we are happy to welcome to the show a very talented actor, producer, director who stars in the Bounce TV series, Johnson. Season 1 in the books, Season 2 drops this weekend on July 10th. We're very happy to welcome in Derrix Brady. Derrix, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Man, I love the show. It's such a great idea from executive producer Cedric the Entertainer. For anybody who doesn't know, can you lay out the premise of Johnson?
Sure. Johnson's about four kids that lined up on the blacktop in elementary in alphabetical order. We all found out that we had the same last name, Johnson, but no relation. And we just went from friends to family to brothers. And, you know, fast forward, we navigate through life now that we're adults, encouraging each other, lifting each other up as we try to find our way and put a footprint on life and not just exist. And so that comes with us encouraging each other as well as challenging each other. It's an amazing show. We do it with a lot of different dynamics as well as make you laugh.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's a lot of comedy, laugh out loud comedy, and some pretty intense drama, too. And it's just a great study of how people change over the course of 25 years, and yet with you guys, you've managed to keep that friendship intact somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all in different places of life. My character, Jarvis Johnson, is married. There's another character, Omar, who's played by Thomas Q. Jones. He's actually going through a divorce and fighting for his family in a custody battle. And then we have my friend, Greg Johnson, who is trying to figure out if he's going to move in with his girl, or is this something that's over, or is he over his ex? And then we have it's Keith Johnson, played by Philip Smithy, and he is trying to figure out if he could just get a girl. So we're all in different places of life.
Yeah, it's a great study, and you guys have terrific chemistry together. Obviously, some writing is involved in that and some great acting, but some of that has to come naturally to you guys. Seem to really feed off each other very well as actors.
Yeah, you know what's awesome is that we first did this. We did a pilot about 5.5 years ago, almost 6 years ago now. Deji and Thomas, who are the showrunner of our show, Deji and Larray created the show, and we did it on their dime. We did a pilot. We all came on board for free, and then they shopped it around, and finally, you know, it got picked up by Bounce. So it gave us like 5 years to really build a brotherhood. So what you see on screen is how it is off screen. We're totally connected with each other and go on vacations together and, you know, go out of the country together. And so the chemistry is really there, and it gave us time to really develop that brotherhood that you see on screen.
I also love the way that the series uses D.L. Hughley's character to really tie things together.
You know, D.L. Hughley is amazing. I mean, first of all, he plays Uncle Eugene, and he's hilarious, but he also gives us advice. You know, once you're, you know, as an adult, you kind of start walking into your path and you start figuring out like, okay, I don't really know nothing, which means I have some experience and some knowledge. But what DL does is he gives it from another point of view and takes, you know, gives us an example and gives us experience to a whole nother level that really makes us think. And he's just hilarious. And I mean, how many times can you say that on your series, you have two legends of Kings of Comedy, right? With Cedric the Entertainer and D.L. Hughley, we're just blessed.
Yeah, and one of my favorite scenes of season one is after Omar's custody hearing, when he stops by to see Eugene, and that great conversation in the studio with Eugene and Omar and the producer, and talking about relationships between black men and black women, and it's really a wonderful, thoughtful, and powerful scene.
Yeah, you know, that's something that they do, you know, Deji and Thomas really in the vision of the show. It's really great and having D.L. there. You know, it's a lot of times when you see African-American men on TV, there's kind of a couple stereotypes that are often used, right? And so what they did, you know, in Deji creating the show is he wanted to create a balance. And when Philip and I came on board, we wanted to participate in that. And so, you know, when I look around at the guys that I know in my life, African-American men, you know, a lot of them are not those stereotypes. They're college graduates, they're entrepreneurs, they're engaged fathers with their kids, they're married, they're not just simply floating, but trying to build a legacy that goes way beyond themselves. And so that's what is happening on Johnson. These are the cousins and uncles and friends that we know And it's just awesome to be able to give a balance and for audiences to tune in and really show up for us.
We're talking with Derricks Brady. Season 2 of Johnson premieres on July 10th on Bounce TV. I accessed it through Amazon Prime. There are a lot of different ways to get it, but it's well worth your time and energy there. So your character, Jarvis, from the get-go, seemingly has things pretty well together. You mentioned he's married, his life is going well, he gets a new job, and then all of a sudden, things take a turn late in season one, and what a great opportunity as an actor to really dig into some powerful moments in those last couple of episodes in particular.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I was honored that, you know, this is the material that I got to do. I mean, quiet is kept. You know, a lot of times when I've played characters in the past that are successful or are having their own company, they're either kind of boring or they're kind of like goofy a little bit, but playing Jarvis has been awesome because it's the first time that I have been able to play a character that is highly intelligent, owns his own brokerage, very successful in the mortgage industry, and at the same time, he has a lot of swag. So I love that. But yeah, you know, we really went into some more intense depth topics towards the end of the season. And it was just really an honor to play that. And I felt like Daisy and Thomas really trusted me with that character and that I could bring it. And so I was honored to do that.
Boy, and that season one finale is just a gut punch. You left us with a great cliffhanger heading into season two. But and I don't want to give too much away. No spoilers. I want people to make sure they watch it. But as an actor, how did you prepare for that big scene at the end of episode 10?
Well, you know, that was huge. It was great because, you know, for Jarvis, his environment has kind of changed with the circle that he's around, aside from his brothers, you know, his friends that are like his brothers, but he's lost a little pulse of what's going on. You know, for him, a lot of times where his friends are complaining about, you know, the way things are happening with, whether it be with police or the way they're being profiled, Jarvis hasn't really dealt with that as much. So he kind of, in his perspective, is like, what are you guys talking about? Like, you're looking for that. But in that finale scene, he ends up getting pulled over with his wife without giving too much away. And he runs into some situations with the police that he felt equally that he didn't have to do. And they felt like, no, you do have to do. And so I had to really take on the responsibility of what I felt, that experiences that I've had to deal with, some of my friends have had to deal with. And take that in and give everything that I had. I remember we shot that scene for about 4.5 hours. And there's one of the producers on our show, Risha Archibald. After we were done shooting, I saw her in the hotel room. Everybody was gone. It was just she and I in the hallway. And all she said to me was, "Are you okay?" And I literally broke down. And I, like, for maybe 3 minutes, I just, five minutes, I just cried, getting it all out, because I really tried to live that scene. I didn't want to play it. I knew a responsibility that I had. And so it was really important that we got it right. And so I gave everything to myself, and I just had nothing left. And her just asking me one question, all the emotions that I had from filming for the last 4 hours, it just came out. But it's a very powerful scene, and I thank you for your words on it.
Yeah, it paid off because it is a tremendous scene. Now, I know you're a big believer in the Meisner method. So how do you immerse yourself? How do you block out everything else to get into that moment?
You know, I really appreciated the cast and the crew. You know, Gino Brooks, writer-director, wrote that episode. Deji Leray directed that episode. And I remember he just was like, I just went off to my own self. I had earphones on. I really didn't speak to anybody except for the times where he was giving me direction or instruction. I just stayed to myself, and I listened to the song Glory, you know, by John. Who's it? Why am I going blank on him? I can't remember. I'm going blank for some reason. But I listened to the song Glory over and over and over, and it just really got me in the place of emotionally what I needed to go to be able to draw from. And so that's how I got into it. And you know, another thing is, we were doing a scene, and I remember with the police, one of the actors, Donnie, you know, plays one of the police officers, and he was kind of taking it easy on me. And I said, "Hey, listen, we have an opportunity here to really give a different perspective for people that might not know how things and quickly things can go." So I was like, don't we're not acting right now. We're going to live. I'm okay. I can take it. But I'll tell you what, Rich, like he, there was one scene, there was one take where he slammed my head on the car. And I was like, yeah, you're living it.
Was it the John Legend song with Common, That Glory?
That's it, John Legend. I remember, John Legend and Common, that song that actually won an Oscar. That song I just ran in my earphones just over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I stayed to myself and didn't speak to anybody. And that's how I was able to get into that place.
Well, we've enjoyed your work on so many things through the years. Do you look at any day now as your really big break in the business?
That was like my first big break. You know, I got to work with Annie Potts, and Olivia Freeman is who I played. You know, we were teenagers, and, you know, I played her boyfriend, and Lorraine Toussaint. You know, I was acting with legends on that show, and it was my first show, so I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I looked at some of the first couple episodes, and I was like, man, how did they keep me? But the great thing is that I knew how. At that time, I just knew how to take other people's words and then just believe them and make them mine. And so that was the quality that they gave me that job on. And I ended up, we broke up after two episodes, but they brought me back. And I ended up doing 2.5 more years on that show. And it was an amazing experience. And even after that show, when I went on to my very next acting job, playing Rocky Carroll's son on The District, or no, it was The Agency. Annie Potts actually went over the sides with me and helped me dig in and find the important points. And I went and booked that job. So we were a really great family on that show.
What was the experience like working with Al Pacino? What did you take away from that?
You know, that was my introduction really into like the method acting. Like that's when I first kind of was like, okay, he's doing something different. It's not just I'm living these lines in between action and cut. You know, the first day he was playing a down and out director in that movie, Simone. And we were like these cult followers that would follow him wherever he would go and watch his film. And we just loved his work. And so that day we were filming, he was vacuuming his own red carpet. He thought no one was going to show up. And I saw him come on set and he was kind of stumbling and had his head down and kind of wasn't, he dressed a little sloppy. And I was like, wow, I was like, is Al Pacino drinking? Like, what's going on? And then we did the scene where he felt totally insecure and that no one believed in him. And then so the next day we filmed the scene where he saw everybody in the theaters and everybody was watching, everybody showed up and he was like, he had pep in his step. And I said, hey, Al, and he waved his hey. And it was so interesting. Like, that's when I first saw, like, wow, he's living out his day. And then he ends up just filming scenes. And that was my introduction to method and to Meisner, and that I just took it on and never did anything different after.
What different skills do you get to tap into when you step out of your acting role and become a producer?
It's interesting because even as a producer, although you're not in front of the camera, you still feel expressive because you've studied the script so much, you've pulled so many pieces together to get this film made. And then you know the tone, really, really understand the tone because the director that came on board is a director that you've either chosen or decided that to work on their work, but you know the tone. So it was amazing as a producer. I really saw how you think, it seems like the director is the captain of the ship, but the producer is the pace of the ship. The producer is who helps things keep going and puts fires out and is thinking proactively of what's the next day and making sure that everybody is cohesive on set. So that was something where I just, as you know, as a brother, as a father, as a husband, I've learned to have my resources and make them work together and so that we're a team. And that's what I did as a producer. And so I really love having that expression as well. From just acting, I like bringing people together that can collectively, cohesively work together for the same mission, and that is just really appetizing and fun for me.
Now, am I correct in giving your mom credit for stoking the love of movies and television by taking you to double features as a kid?
You know what? Yes. I mean, I remember, like, you know, as a little kid, I remember watching TV with my mom all the time. But then I remember, like, when I would go outside this is when like you always had to check in like every 30 minutes, even though you were on the same block. And I remember coming in sometimes on days where my friends might have been gone or went to somewhere else with their parents. And I remember coming in and out. And I remember my mom would just say, you know what? Just come sit down. Just watch this with me. And I'd be so frustrated and angry. I didn't want to watch this movie. And at the end of the movie, I just would ask her a million questions because I so fell in love with it. And, you know, we would also go to like double features. And I saw Lost Boys with my mom, and we would go and stay at the theater for hours. And I just loved it. We never got tired of it. So she really introduced me to cinema. She introduced me to TV. And there's no doubt of the impact that it had and why I'm telling stories today, because I saw these amazing stories as a kid with her.
What are some of the stories that you still look forward to telling as a producer, director, or an actor?
You know, I'm working on one of the stories that I'm working on with my producing partner, M.B. Walton. We created Skyscope Pictures. We wanted to have a production company that gave a voice to the voiceless, that was able to give perspectives for marginalized communities. And we also wanted to tell unique stories with a commercial appeal that could also entertain you while still giving you a perspective that maybe you, before the movie, didn't have, and you could see from a different angle. And so we're working on this film called Michael. It's an MMA story, a mixed martial arts story about a deaf father who loses his son to foster care and loses his wife through tragic events. And so he tries to fight his way back into the ring to fight his way out of poverty and regain custody of his son. And it's an amazing story. We're really focused on that. Our lead actor, Michael Anthony Spady, he really is deaf. So the disability is not just something we're faking. And we did it as a short. We got 19 nominations and critical acclaim, and we won 14 awards. The short starred Harold Perrineau from Claws, and he's got a new show on FX, and it's Tina Wesley from Queen Sugar and True Blood. And it also starred Lawrence Gilliard from The Deuces and The Wire. And it was an amazing short. And so my producing partner, M.B. Walton, has now worked on the feature. And we've been blessed to be our director of taxes, the Anthony Hemingway, who is showrunner and, producer, director of Genius that just came out about Aretha Franklin's story.
Mm.
He also was part of the Emmy award winning People vs. OJ. And he also did the Unsolved story about Biggie and Tupac. And so he just tells really amazing stories. And so he's our director. We've been developing the story over the last 3.5 years. And so we're getting really close. Hopefully by the end of this year, we're going to be able to make some major announcements, star-wise as well as studio-wise. And so we're excited. It's an amazing story, and we just can't wait to share it.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, we wish you much luck with that, continued success. I can't wait for Saturday and Season 2 of Johnson on Bounce TV. Derek Sprady, congratulations on the great work in Season 1 and all you do, and thanks so much for visiting with us.
Really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. I had so much fun talking to you. And yes, it's July 10th, this Sunday, 8/7 Central. For the West Coast, it's 5 p.m. on Bounce TV. So I'm excited for everybody to tune in. Last season, everyone showed up for us, and we debuted the highest rated dramedy series, half hour dramedy series for Bounce TV. And so we're looking forward to all the audiences coming in and seeing what we're doing for Season 2.
I can't wait to see what happens to Jarvis. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Derek. Be well.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye now. Derek's